This is from an interview show on Coast to Coast with George Nuri of Dolores Cannon. It happened in October 2009, and it's titled Volunteer Souls and Lost Knowledge. And very much of the talk here is quite similar to what you can read in the Lobsang Rampa book, The Hermit.
The information I've got, some of it was in my first books, Keepers of the Garden and The Custodian, about my first UFO cases.
Right.
And they started talking about the seeing of the planet Earth. That meant that when life began on Earth, and this is the part that might be controversial to some people, was that the ETs are responsible for life, all life on Earth. This means plant, animal, and human life on Earth. That's how long they've been monitoring us and taking care of us. Because I've never found the negative. It's always been the positive because they've given me all this information. But this is something not unique to Earth. They're called, the ones that began it all were called the Archaic Ones. This was ancient, I mean eons and eons ago. They were going throughout the galaxies, planting life on every planet that was suitable for life.
Was it almost like their job, their mission?
Yes, it definitely was. And this was something went on for a long time. There were generations of them. Some had to do, I have had people go back to past lives when they were some of these groups, and that's where I've gotten the information from. There were what were called the planters, the ones who had to do the seeding, and the seeding was on a cellular level. And then there were also the recorders, the ones who had to come and keep records of what was growing and what was not. And then there were others that had to weed things out, so they all had different jobs.
Now,
so
did the seeding...
None of them stayed here all the time. You know, they just came and went.
Well, you know, Zechariah Sitchin has always talked about the possibility that we were genetically altered. And
yes.
You know what? It could be very similar to what you're hearing.
Well, other people have talked about Zechariah's work, and I know Zechariah. He's a very fine gentleman. But they've talked about his work in comparison to what I've found. What I have found is the Sumerian tablets, that his information came along at a later time in Earth's history.
Mm-hmm.
That life had already been seeded, it had already begun, and what Zechariah was talking about is mentioned in one of my books. Later, there were groups that came with the different types of an agenda, and they took other groups and began to genetically alter them to be slaves. Now, that's a different group altogether. It came along many, many years, ages after the original people were seeded.
Now, the original seeding,
yeah.
was it done with creatures, let's say, that were already on this planet?
No.
Like, okay, so it's...
they began everything. I've had some of my clients go back to when the oceans were made, when the plants were first beginning to grow. See, in the beginning, Earth couldn't hold life. Nothing could grow here. It was all volcanoes exploding, ammonia in the air. Nothing could live. So the first thing that had to be done would be to clear the air and, you know, change the gas contents into oxygen so that we would be able to have life begin to form of any kind. Once that was done, then plants were brought in. But it was all begun on a cellular level, single-celled organisms. They brought them, this is what they meant by the planting, to see if it would begin to form and develop into a multi-celled organism. Didn't matter what kind it was, as long as something began to grow in the primeval soup, the environment of the planet. So they didn't care what it was. But they said, life is so fragile, you have no idea how important life is. Sometimes they would come back to check on it and find that even though it began to clump together and form something, it would fall apart and the planet would be lifeless again. So then they were, you know, they'd have to start all over again or just say, well, this planet is not going to work. So they had to first get plants. Before you have animals and intelligent beings, you have to have something to eat. So the first thing was to grow the plants. Then the animals were also brought in. Many of them were brought from many other planets throughout the solar systems, the galaxies. Huh. They have traveling zoos, really, on these ships.
Is that kind of like the Noah's Ark story?
Yes, it is, because they would bring these from many different places, and sometimes they had to genetically alter them so they could adapt to life where they had to leave them. And it was done simple at first, and then became more and more complicated. This was a huge scientific experiment, I guess you would say.
Where did they come from originally, Dolores, those that came to seed the planet?
Everywhere. You'd be amazed. They said these, it was their specific mission, and many of them lived on the craft. They never went back to the original planet. Some of them had their families on board these crafts, and they just went throughout the galaxies doing this work. It was their assignment. But I've had other people go back to lifetimes on other planets where they were living lives. They were working in laboratories. They came from everywhere. And in my work, I have found, hundreds of different types of ETs. They're not just a few. And they all have different jobs. I've had people go back to the source when they were created. This is what they call it, the source, what we call God. Now, you know, to accept everything I'm saying, you have to also understand about reincarnation. And, those are also controversial beliefs. But I've had many people go back to the beginning when they were created. And this is also in my books, their description of what God is and where we all came from. And so the ETs also came from God. See, that's what we don't understand. You just don't live a body as a human. This is only one school that you go to, and that's all it is, a school. You learn lessons. You've also had lives as ETs, if you want to call them that, aliens on other planets and other dimensions. And I've had some go back to where they've gone past ETs to where they were beings of light. So anything is possible. But all of this was, they all came from God, because we are the real you is your soul, your spirit.
Sure.
That is the part that was created by God.
We'll get into these various waves in a moment. But you had mentioned earlier these that all this started, the new ones, the ones who have been coming here of late, that's been the last 50 years. So there's a reason for that, isn't there?
Yeah. We've got plenty of time, so I guess I can build up to that. Is that okay?
All right.
All right. But one thing about God, the ETs, if you want to call them that, are closer to God than we will ever be, because they don't eat. You know, that's one of the things. Their organs have atrophied. They don't have to consume food anymore. These are certain types. And I asked them what they live on. They said they live on light. And I said, where does the light come from? It comes from the source. So without God, they couldn't live. It's absorbed through their body, and this is what keeps them alive.
Are they physical?
Some of them are. They're very physical. They're just, their organs have atrophied, so they don't function like we are. We do. Some people say they may be even us in the future, which is a possibility also.
Well, that is true, too.
So there's all kinds of theories. But what they have said is in the very, very beginning, they started the seedings as because God, the source, told them to do it, to go out and begin to populate the world. So they're doing it under instructions. So you can say it's a creationist theory and the evolutionist theory combined into one. So neither one stands alone. It is a combination of the two.
Were some of these giants as reported in the Bible?
Definitely. That everything in the Bible is true to a certain extent. The part there about the first Jehovah and E.T., you know, that part, that is what Zechariah Sitchin came up with. Those are the ones that came much, much later after the planet was formed. There were life, there was beings here, and they're the ones that wanted to use it for the wrong reasons. So that's the beginning of the Old Testament, are those creatures that Zechariah writes about. But there were definitely giants. In the beginning, there were some people that had blue skin, green skin, purple skin. They were all different experiments, and some of them survived, and some of them died out. But when they began, some of the animals did develop on Earth genetically, and other ones were brought in. But they had to find an animal that they could develop into an intelligent being. This took eons of time, but they finally decided that the monkey was the best one. Here again, this may upset people, but they had to have an animal that had hands so they could make tools later, mm-hmm. and also have a large brain capacity. So they took the monkey and they genetically modified it to become a human being. And they've told me the missing link will never be found because it jumped generations and species so fast. From what they began with until what eventually became Homo sapiens. I asked them one time, I said, didn't life ever occur just spontaneously and indigenously on any planet? They said, no, because if they did, it would have been chaotic. It would not have had a plan. They said, for you to develop into an intelligent human being, it had happened spontaneously. It would have taken a million more years than it did to have an intelligent being on this planet. So it had to be planned and studied very carefully for what was developing. So let's get up and jump to, okay, I know I have a little more to tell before we get up to 1950. In the beginning, they said, let's give this beautiful planet a creature with free will and see what he does with it. And believe me, they're not very happy with what we're doing with it.
It was their choice.
Yes, just to see what they would do with it. And we were supposed to be a perfect species that would never get sick and never die. It was like in a virtual Garden of Eden was what it was supposed to be like. And everything was developing along and going very well until something happened to spoil the experiment. A meteorite hit the Earth. And when it did, it brought a bacteria that was not was alien to the Earth. And the bacteria, for the first time, developed disease to the Earth, and it contaminated the growing species. And at first, there was a lot of sorrow and sadness. They said, what do we do now? They went back to the councils, and there are councils over solar systems, galaxies. They're the ones that set the rules. They went back to the council, and they said, what are we going to do now? Our experiment is ruined. Do we just destroy everything and start over again, or do we let it continue developing on its own? It was decided that so much time and effort had been put into it to allow it to continue to develop.
And monitor it maybe every once in a while.
And this will help people understand what the ETs have been doing up into our modern time. It's not invasive. It's not negative. They've been keeping track of us and watching us because we're their children. And they said the human species is so important, it must not perish. So the idea that they're here to take over the world doesn't fit into this at all. It's just misunderstandings of people. But along the way, as the species began to develop, it needed different inventions along the way, different things to help the species go, like the invention of fire,
mm-hmm.
being taught how to plant. Now, every culture in the world has the legend of the culture bringer. They always have someone, the corn woman with the Indian, someone who brings agriculture, someone who brings fire.
Some kind of knowledge.
And they always come in the legends from the sky or from across the waters.
That's true.
These are the ones who came to teach the developing species. And they lived among them. And because they could live as long as they wanted, they were treated as gods. And these are the legends of the gods that have come down through us through all the cultures. Were the ETs living among them, teaching them the different things. they knew the people here who were stuck in this cycle were not going to be able to solve the problem. Because that's where the violence comes from. That's where the wars keep making the same mistakes again and again. So their plan, which I think was brilliant, was let's bring in other souls, pure souls who have never known Earth life, who have never been on Earth before, who have not known the violence and are not stuck in karma. Let's get pure souls coming in. Maybe they can do something to turn the whole cycle around. Are you following me?
And when did they start doing this? Right after that.
With the start of the 1950s, early 1950s is when it all began. And what they did, they put out a call to the universe. Does anyone want to volunteer and come and help Earth? And they said they had meetings, and I've had many, many of my clients have gone back, instead of going to past life, go to when they were having these meetings, and they were discussing it. Who wants to go and help? And they said, I've had to say, I foolishly raised my hand and said I would go.
Not a lot of takers, though, I bet, huh?
Oh, definitely. But that's the problem. When you come into Earth life, you don't remember what you volunteered for. Everything is wiped out when you're born. But that's true of everybody. None of us know our past lives. We don't know why we came. We don't know our association with other people. So it makes it harder. But I asked them one time, would it be easier if we remembered why we came? We remembered what we were here for and our association with other people. They said it wouldn't be a test if you knew the answers. So you have to come in just totally blacked out and start all over again and learn it as you go along. So I had people, instead of going to past lives, like some of them would go back to where they had never left God. They had never left the source. We all began there and went out and wanted to explore and wanted to learn. Some of them didn't. It's so beautiful there. And I can tell you what God is like. I can tell you all of that if you're interested.
Well, we'll get to that.
You want to get to that later then, or what?
Yeah. Now, I'm curious with these.
Okay, but some of them go back to
hold
that.
Hold on, can you hear me? I'm curious with the waves of people
who came here now.
Are they humans or ETs?
They're humans, but their souls are either ETs or they have never had a body before. They've come direct from God.
All right.
But the ones who were ETs were those who were on spaceships, on planets, other dimensions, and they sent out the call. Because I've had people, while they're under, talking about when they came and what they left they were so happy with. They were happy on the other planets. They were happy when they were with God. And I said, then why did you come to Earth? They said, I heard the call. And this has happened time after time after time with my clients. They say, I heard the call. I knew I had to come. Earth was in trouble. I volunteered. Now, why would this be repeated through hundreds of people if there wasn't something to it?
Now, what are the things they would try to do to help us?
To live among us, to change us by living among us.
Would they get involved politically? I mean, would we know? I mean, would there be one of them living next door to you, for example?
Oh, very likely, because they look just like you. They have no conscious memory of where they came from. So they're not here to corrupt anything. They're not here to cause any problems. We don't want to go on a witch hunt looking for these people, because now there are tens of thousands of them all over the world. They said, finally, we have tipped the scale. We think we can save the Earth. By the sheer number of these souls that have no karma, they have no reason to. They really didn't have to be here at all. They just came. But that's where the three waves come in. And when I first wrote about this in Keepers of the Garden, that was 20 years ago. Now I get letters because the books are translated all over the world, and they all said, I didn't know that was what it was. I didn't know why I felt the way I do. And now I understand and I can live with it.
You said the first wave that many of them tried to commit suicide. How come?
Yes. because they didn't like it here. They couldn't adjust. Okay, let me explain now. If we, I don't know when you're going to go into another break here.
Oh, where you got time? You got time.
What?
You've got time.
Okay, the three waves that I found. The first wave, that they must be now in their early 50s, their 40s or their early 50s, because the first one I discovered had just turned 30 years old, and that was 20 years ago, and I'm still in touch with him. Now, this wave, when they came in, these are people, they don't want to be here. They don't like it here. They can't stand the violence. They want to go home, but they don't know where home is. They just know it's not here. They're very gentle people. These are not conspirators. They're not people who want to hurt anyone. They're just here to change by existing, by being here. So they are living among us just as ordinary people, but it's very, very difficult for them because they feel out of place. You can understand why.
Mm-hmm.
Because the ones I've talked to, this is all over the world. They said they have a good family. They had a good job, but they just didn't want to be here. They wanted to go home. And many of them did try to commit suicide, especially in their earlier years, because they just couldn't take it here.
Interesting.
But after I worked with them and they find out why they're here, then they change. And they said, all right, I may not like it here, but I'm going to do my job. This is the first wave of people. And I've run into them now all over the world when I lecture on this. Even in South Africa a few weeks ago, two women came up to me afterwards, and they said, now I understand why I felt like this all my life. Now I know what I have to do.
These first wave folks would be what, 40, 50 years old today?
Yeah, they would be in their late 40s and early 50s. See, okay. That would put it right after the atomic bomb.
Right.
The first wave began to come in. They had a very difficult time. They had a terrible time adjusting.
The baby boomers.
Oh, that's the third wave. Let's get into the other second wave first.
No. People in their 40s and 50s.
Oh, 40s and 50s. Okay. Yeah. I guess that would be, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
About that age?
They were the baby boomers.
Another characteristic of these first wave, they don't like violence, but they can't understand emotion. Anger and fear upset them and paralyze them to where they can't handle it. So many of them kind of remain as loners.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because the whole emotional thing of Earth is just so chaotic. See, Earth is a very challenging planet. And they said, you're very brave to come to Earth and want to experience what's here. We're here to learn emotions and limitations. And some people, that's very difficult. But this new wave, can you imagine not having any experience in Earth and coming right into it? It'd be very difficult for them.
Sure.
And many of the ones I've talked to were suicidal, and some of them were on antidepressants. But once we found out where it was coming from, they've gone off the antidepressants. Okay, the second wave are different. They are in their 20s and their 30s now. They're just below the age group of the first wave.
Okay.
I call them the antennas, the channelers, the generators. This is what they're called. They're different. They didn't have near the problem that the first wave did. They are here not to do anything. They're just here to be. Their energy that they generate in their body affects everyone they come in contact with. Can you see how this is going to help change the world?
Are these people like healers?
Well, they can be if they want to be, but most of them, they just live by themselves, or they work from home. They're very gentle people, but they say they could walk through a mall of people or a grocery store and affect everyone that they came in contact with.
They're positive people.
Very positive energy.
Okay.
And both of these groups don't want to have children. Now, when they come in, they said there's like a shield, I guess you would say, put over them so they cannot accumulate karma. It's to keep them from accumulating karma. And majority of them don't want children because children causes karma.